You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the PHNX Suns post-game show. It's a Club 120 edition. Saul, Flex, me. Not popping bottles in the club tonight, but a rough one. 127-112, Suns loss in Boston to the Celtics. Hats off to the Celtics.
Hell yeah.
I mean, that was one of the best three-point shooting performances I think I have ever seen a team do tonight. I mean, what was it? Every one of their starters had three or more
at least three-pointers.
Yeah. Like a hell of a performance by the Celtics and a pretty bad second half for the Suns.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, first half, they came out with energy, focus, attention to detail. Looked like it was going to be a good game. And then they let go of the rope in the third, and you just can't do that against a team this good. The Celtics are that good. They shot the heck out the three line. Listen, in two games, the Celtics have 120 points from the three-point line.
Against the Suns.
The Suns in two games. The Suns got 60. So the three-point line is what's making a difference. They've made 40, 25 tonight. The Suns have made 20 in two games, 9 and 11. Against a team this good, not going to cut it. Got to hit the three ball, man. Got to do it.
Jeff Cheesy in the chat actually made a really good point a little bit ago. It's basically we're an old school team. He says we're a good old school team getting beat in the new school NBA by a new school NBA teams, a.k.a. three-point shooting.
Great point. He's absolutely right.
Yeah. He's 1,000,000% right. That is the biggest takeaway right now. You were getting obliterated by three. Like, yeah. That's exactly what's happened. And when your stars get outplayed by their stars, basically, yeah. Their two stars were better than our three, point blank.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way to go about this.
Yeah.
Devin Booker was not very good in the first half. He got some buckets at the end, but it didn't really matter at that point.
Yeah.
KD had a good first quarter, and then he kind of faded away too. Brad Beal was kind of inconsistent throughout the game. Like, all three of them. Like, that's this team, though. They're very, very inconsistent. That is exactly how they've been playing all season, and this is just another example of it. And it's accentuated when you play the best teams.
Yeah.
Well, and it's why we've called them the solar coaster this year, because you start to feel like, oh, we're ticking up. This is going to be where they take off, and then it's right back down. And I'm sure there'll be another handful of games where you feel real high about this team over the next couple of weeks, but it is consistently inconsistent, and tonight was yet another example of that on the whole. I would argue this, though, and we'll take a look at what's in the box in a second, but one of the things that stood out to me, there was the talk of old school, new school, but the Suns had 10 more shots in tonight's game
I saw that.
Than the Celtics, right? And yet they wind up with the same exact amount of makes, right?
Yeah.
That, to me, in and of itself, is problematic because you worked so hard in that, in particular in that first half, to get downhill, right?
Yeah.
You get a lot of shots around the rim, and you miss a significant amount of them, right?
Yeah.
You miss a lot of shots in the paint in that first half, which I think that in and of itself could have changed the tone of the game. Instead, you miss those where you look like you may have had a matchup advantage, where they were stretching that floor a little bit more and driving with Brad. You don't hit those, and then you let it get away in the third. And sure, you can get outshot from three, but if you don't take advantage of the extra shots you have, whether it's three or two, it's not going to matter in that. And that was really, to me, what it came down to in particular was that first half not taking advantage of those buckets. I think they should have led at halftime based on the looks that they had, and they couldn't pull it off, and then it just snowballed from there.
It felt like, though, that the Suns had some opportunities in the first half to cash in, and even in the third quarter, they had some shots, and they were open shots, and they just could not connect at all. Did feel like the entire game, the Suns were having to work harder to get their shots open than the Celtics were. It felt like every possession, the Celtics had a wide open three every time. And Al Horford, every three Al Horford shot was wide open without anybody contesting. Every single one. Yeah. All 10 of them.
He finished 6 of 10.
It's just, damn. I mean.
He was a star of the game for me for Boston. Well, I mean, really, I think that he busted wide open. I think the Suns bet on, I'm going to go back and look at the film, but I feel like the Suns' game plan was to see if Horford could beat you. And he did. Bust your ass.
Both halves. He hit 3 of 5. I mean, they were carbon copies first and second half. Mm-hmm. And that was the poison you chose to pick, and they converted. I'm surprised they didn't try to shift in that third after leaving him open a lot in that first half where it cost them as well. Let's take a look at By the Numbers, brought to you by our friends over at Desert Financial Credit Union. Let's see what's inside the box.
What's in the box?
Yeah, 127-112 Celtics victory. Three-point line. I mean, we talked about it. Suns 11 for 31, 35%. Celtics 25 for 50, 50%. That is an insane number in itself. The Celtics shoot 53% from the field. The Suns shoot 47%. This was a little bit surprising, but then again, maybe not, because when you shoot and make every damn shot, I mean, 51 to 33 on the glass, and then the assists were pretty much there. One step further, if you talk about the turnovers, that was close to. So it just looks like a game where the Celtics absolutely annihilated them at the three-point line, and that's how you get that 127-112 victory.
Yeah, the rebounding difference came on that offensive glass. They had 13 more offensive rebounds than the Celtics, which comes as part of missing, you know, 10 more shots than the Celtics did in there. What would you guys have done different in this game? I mean, look, the obvious answer is you can't have Devin Booker have the first half he had. He was non-existent in the first half. Offered absolutely nothing when they were within 5 points there. But other than, Devin Booker playing like Devin Booker, what adjustments do you think could have been made in this game? Or was this just you're not beating a team that hits 25 three-pointers?
I mean, listen, you shoot 50 times, you hit 25. Yes, that is a problem. And just about every team in the league will lose if that happens to them, right? However, there's just no excuse at, what is this, game 64, 65 of the season? And you're still having mental lapses on defense, not communicating. There's no reason why Al Horford should be wide open. There's no reason why sometimes Jaylen Brown's wide open. There's no reason why sometimes Jason Tatum was wide open. Like, what are we doing out here? Why are we still getting into that point where you're still having defensive lapses over and over and over again? Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. And then you throw into the mix. Listen, this is an entire team effort. I know people are in the chat and they want us to call out Booker, or they want us to call out KD or whatever. Like, okay, cool. Like, we can call them all out. It is what it is. Their bench also obliterated our bench.
Yeah.
Like, obliterated. Like, tell me I'm wrong. They hit key shots when they had the opportunity to, that took them to that lead, and then we got some garbage points at the end. The only one that showed up was Bol Bol until about the fourth quarter.
I agree with that.
Their bench was very much similar until garbage time. They only had, I think it was 5 more points than the Suns' bench. This was not
their
a case.
Activity was more.
Okay, I see what you're saying, Esper. But what I will say is, to Saul's point, their distribution was better. We had 10 from Bol Bol, and that was it. Like Bobo got 10. Those numbers looked a little inflated because you're going to add 10 from Bobo alone. But at one point, you had 10 from Bobo and a 3-point shot from Ish Wainwright. And that was all your contribution from the bench.
And that was all the first half. Right. So second half, 100% right in terms of that. That was all the first half. I don't.
Celtics are just good, man. Well,
you're not when Book, Beal, and KD get outscored by Tatum and Brown themselves.
Yeah,
you know you're losing that game because your bench isn't going to pick up enough, and Grayson can only do so much, right? But he's only going to get minimum touches, which he did tonight and took advantage of it. So.
I take it one step further. If I told you before the game that Al Horford alone was going to outscore every single member of the big three, would you believe that?
Well, I would say,
because okay, that's what happened. He had 24.
I wouldn't have believed it, but I also would have said, what the hell was Frank Vogel's defense doing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, at some point, adjust, right? Because it was pretty obvious early that was the guy they were choosing to leave open. Once he burns your ass, for 3 of 5 in the first half, I think at halftime I might adjust. I don't know.
Yeah.
You would think that's the thing. And you talked about it looking at this like a playoff series because you played in such close proximity to these two games and making adjustments. Well, first half, I think they made some adjustments.
They made some really good adjustments in the first half.
Second half, guess what? Suns didn't make adjustments. Celtics did. Celtics kicks their teeth.
There you go, yeah.
I mean, I think it was as simple as that in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you're only mad right now if you think that the Suns are right there with the Celtics. And I don't think anybody should feel that way right now. I still feel like, listen, the Celtics have been together for quite a while. Like, that's another one of these things that we keep talking about. Mm-hmm. Flex and I, talked earlier in the season, and we talked about the differentiator between some of the contenders and us. And to be honest, like, the main thing that keeps popping up is those teams that have been together for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
The Nuggets, the Celtics. You know, you throw Damian Lillard into the Bucks, but the rest of that Bucks team has been together for a little while. So it's just like, there's just a long way to go. And I don't know if we're going to get there before we get to the meaningful games in the postseason, whether that be in the play-in or the playoff. It doesn't matter right now. Like, you just want this team to be able to connect and play at a high level. And, you know, this game, hey, listen, it got away from them. And when you play the style of basketball that the Suns play, and you don't shoot as many threes as the Celtics, you have to be more efficient. Have to be. That's the medicine or the problem with being a mid-range team for the most part, is that if you're off, you are going to be really off compared to what the other teams are doing, because they're shooting threes for your every two. And if they're connecting on that night, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And that's exactly what happened in that second half.
I don't think you're wrong. And I'm not angry that they lost this game. But like Flex said in pregame, it's not about the win or loss. It's about the process. And the process and some of the approaches, in particular in that second half, you look at and you go,
yeah,
come on, this is just sloppy.
Yeah.
And that's what's frustrating, because I'm not saying the Celtics probably win this game even if you play a clean game, but you still shot yourself in the foot on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, 66 games into the season, injuries or not, that's just frustrating, especially when you have a defensive-minded head coach that supposedly he's a genius at that, right?
Yeah, the interesting thing was, and I said it, to me it was process. We looked at the first game, and I could see some very good adjustments in that first half. We were talking about it, watching it live. This guy's doing this. This guy's doing that. I really like the adjustments they made in the first half. And I'm going to say what I told y'all off camera. Watching that first half, there was nothing that screams out at me that Boston is significantly better than the Suns. Unfortunately, you play two halves in the NBA. So for one half, they looked like they had a chance, and they looked like they were going toe-to-toe with the best team in basketball. Second half, they got run off the court.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where, again, I look at it and I'm saying, the Suns lost this basketball game. I'm looking at the incremental improvements that they made in that basketball game, and I'm sitting here and saying, the Celtics are just better. They were just better tonight. I'm not going to be upset about this loss. I'm not. Celtics are the best team in basketball, and they play without Porzingis.
Yeah.
So they got a level to get even better.
You know, it's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. You're not wrong. But you know, we're nitpicking at things, and that's what we do, because we're going to point out some things.
Yeah.
The Suns made a run in that second quarter and took the lead by one, with what, about 5 or 6 minutes left to go, right?
Yeah.
And that was with Kevin Durant on the bench.
Yeah, I was with Bobo.
And there is the guy in the comments that are saying, like, you know, Kevin Durant did start 7 for 8, and then he sat for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
He's right. He's 1,000,000% right. Mm-hmm. Like, that sitting that long is not great. Especially for somebody that's 35 years old. You get out there, you start to you basically start to cool off.
Yeah.
Like physically cool off. And then you get back out there and you got to find your rhythm all over again. And he wasn't able to find it again. You know, and that's, again, like, you got to feel your players. You do have to feel your players. You got to understand the moment. And you got to understand, oh, okay, KD's grooving right now. Like, so if I'm going to pull him, I'm only going to pull him for maybe 3 or 4 minutes as opposed to the 8. Right. But that's the small little picture of what these small tweaks and how big of an impact they can have in the long run that continue to happen. I don't know what to say about it.
Correct me on this, Saul, because I want to talk about that. KD played the whole first quarter, correct?
All but like, I think it was 30 seconds of it. Yeah.
And that's not normal.
No.
Like,
no.
That's not his normal pattern. So, again,
You're fucking with the rhythm.
Correct. KD's the last 4 games averaging 40 a game. Yeah. Damn near.
Yeah.
Hottest player in basketball. And this is what you do. Like, yeah. I didn't understand that. With Book back, I didn't understand why you messed with the rhythm and why he was, you know, why they did that. But again, it's a learning lesson. It's one of those things that you'll look back in tape and say, damn, I probably could have done that different. This is probably a lot of Frank stuff tonight.
Okay, but you say, you got to understand the guy, you got to ride the hot hand, right? So he does start 7 of 8. So you do ride the hot hand in the first quarter, right?
But then you froze him out.
But no, and I agree with that. But then you come in, and I think there's some inflexibility in it too, because it appears, and we'll get into more about Bol Bol in a little while.
Yeah, that was the other one I was just about to bring up.
But when you look at it, I feel there's some inflexibility there where Frank is, Bol Bol is KD's backup primarily, and Bol Bol was going there at the beginning of that second quarter. So True. So I can't bring KD back in because Bol Bol's now going. It's like, no, bring them both in, play them together. Like, it was a weird inflexibility, I think, in the thinking. Flex, tonight's game was not easy for the Suns, right?
No, hell no.
But you know what is easy?
Tell me.
Getting $200 from our friends over at Desert Financial Credit Union. Okay. It's super easy when you do it, because all you got to do is go to desertfinancial.com/200 and open a free online checking account and $200 in bonuses.
$200.
Just that easy. I love it. I did it myself because, you know what? I can't turn down free money. I basically do anything for money. And yes, I know how that sounds. And it is within certain, there's certain restrictions. Certain restrictions apply, but not too many. And $200 from Desert Financial Credit Union is about as easy as it gets. For more than 84 years, Desert Financial has been Arizona's largest and most trusted local credit union, dedicated to creating exceptional experiences by giving back to the community and providing financial success that makes lives better. A look at Desert Financial for checking and savings account, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, and more. If it involves money, Desert Financial can help you with it and help you much better than anybody else out there. So join a credit union that is committed to giving back to the community and sharing success with its members. When you open a free checking account online, you can get that $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200. And you know what, Flex, you like money too, right?
I love money.
You know what another great way?
Tell me, please.
To get in cash and also kind of get used to the new state you live in?
Talk to me.
Arizona Lottery. They got a great new program that they're doing. It's a Arizona Adventure promotion, right? So it's super easy. You can check in at locations around the state, great outdoor locations. None of this New York, New Jersey bullshit. You're not going to the swamps where they drop off the bodies or anything. You're not going to the Meadowlands or
Jimmy Hoffa.
You're not heading to Queens. No, you're heading to these beautiful outdoor places in Arizona. You check in, you're going to have a chance at winning cash and prizes by doing that. And then you can also play the Arizona Adventure lottery tickets featuring three of the most iconic landscapes in Arizona. You're probably not familiar with these, Flex. Picacho Peak, Monument Valley, and Camelback Mountain. Those are three you have to check out.
No.
And these tickets have prizes up to $50,000.
50 bands.
Yeah, 50 bands. So check out azadventure.com for details. The Arizona Lottery is not just about playing games and winning prizes. It's also about giving back to the state and its communities. Visit azadventure for more information on how you can take an adventure for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. I want to look at, and we brought up Bull Bull briefly, but I want to take a look at Bull Bull and Royce O'Neal. I was looking at the stats for the two games versus the Celtics in this last week, and this jumped off the page to me.
Damn.
Bull Bull, 23 points, 10 of 12 shooting, 3 of 4 from 3, 25 minutes in those two games. Royce O'Neal, 3 points, 1 of 16 shooting, 1 of 11 from 3, and 64 minutes played.
Yeah.
Damn.
Listen, when we talk about tonight's game specifically, and even this last, I won't talk about Royce O'Neal. I'll get to him in a second, but Bull Bull, this is something that I will say to Frank Vogel, like, and I would say if he walked through this door right now, is like, what are you doing with Bull Bull? Like, what is your plan?
Because
the guy comes out and you think that he earns the right to get some more minutes. He played very, very well
in the first half.
He kept you competitive. He hit a couple threes. He had 10 points. Like, he was grooving.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't see the court for almost the entire second half until like the fourth quarter. Like, what is the purpose here? What is the purpose here? What are we doing with a guy that looks like he's given you more potential than any other guy on that bench? Any other guy on that bench, you're not giving him any run. It's borderline disrespectful because the kid is busting his ass out there. Yeah. He's giving you everything he's got. He's learning on the job. He's maximized, if not surpassed, your expectations. And you still have the nerve to sit him on the bench for the whole second half.
Yeah.
Like, that is an egregious move by Frank Vogel. Bull could have helped him in the third quarter when they were struggling. Then you go over to Royce O'Neal, and Royce has these. If you looked at his numbers in Brooklyn, he's been like this. He's been very, very up and down. Mm-hmm. You're going to get cold streaks with Royce. Again, you got to feel the fucking game. You got to feel the game. Royce ain't got it tonight. You saw it. Yeah. It was happening right in front of your eyes. Make the move, Frank. Get Bull back in there. Make a move. Like, I don't understand what he is doing game after game after game, just benching Bull and letting these cold dudes just shoot the fucking game out of reach. I don't get it. He does it with Gordon. He does it with Royce O'Neal. It's like, bro, make the move.
Well, and it's not just tonight. He's had three games that he's seen Royce basically go ice cold. I didn't hit a three last game, didn't hit one today, had one in the first Celtics game. Like, it's not as if this snuck up on him, right?
Right.
He's been doing that all for like the last month. Bull's been playing good in the first half, and then you don't see him in the second half. I don't understand. The dude balled his ass off in Houston, and then the next game got like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, that's when we talk about like coaching and people getting upset about Vogel and his rotations and blah, blah, blah. That's the one thing that I know I could always go to because it's too damn inconsistent. And then when you start to migrate that over to your superstars and you're inconsistent with their rotations and you fuck up their rhythm, now Saul's getting upset because you're fucking up my mojo and you're fucking up my good groove of watching this team that I thought was competitive in the first half, but they could have been much better. Yeah. And it's not good enough that they were down by 5 at the half. Hell, they could have been up by 5 at the half if Vogel would have made some moves to shore up things. It's just, Come on, man. You know we got to be better than this. And if you're going to expect these players to play at a high level, well, fuck it, Frank. You got to coach at a high level. And tonight wasn't it. Yeah. It wasn't it.
Eli called him Frankie Freeze. We had Mr. Freeze with Monty. We now have Frankie Freeze here as well.
It's like at the beginning when Bo was having these little outbursts or these little flashes of potential, it was like found money. It was like, okay, that was cool. He's still treating them that way. Yeah. This ain't found money, bro. No. Appreciate this
it
money.
It feels like it's the real deal.
It's the real deal. That's what I'm trying to get to. Yeah. You know, and but Frank is still treating him as if it's found money. And it's like, no, man, you only made it to the through the first half tonight.
Yeah.
Competitive because of Bobo. In 7 minutes, 10 points, I don't know how many rebounds, how many extended possessions, good defense. Like, damn, man. I said something while we were watching to y'all. And I believe this. We're getting to a point where Bobo is showing enough potential. He might be KD's full-time backup. I don't know that there's a better guy on the roster.
He's got to be more than KD's full-time backup. His KD only was 14 minutes off the court. Bobo played 15. So you got exactly
How much did Bobo play tonight?
15 minutes.
Yeah, so,
almost
so
the exact
needs,
amount
it needs
of time
to be more.
KD
needs,
was off
it needs
the court.
To be more. It needs
you
got to
get creative with those lineups, right? You got to look at it and go, how can I maximize it and put him out there? And there were a few times for brief moments that he and KD were on the floor, but you got to figure out, how do I maximize it more? How do I get more creative in my lineups? Because you can't just get stuck in, this is my rotation pattern, and I'm not breaking from it at all. Yeah. I think with the big three, you stick to your rotations with them so they're comfortable. But with everybody else is interchangeable. Yeah. Anything goes with those guys if you got a hot hand or you got an ability to get somebody in there. And he didn't do that with Bol Bol tonight. Yeah. And look, for better or for worse, Frank's your guy through this run.
Yeah, yeah.
So either he figures it out or they're going to have to overcome those shortcomings.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Frank ain't going nowhere. Frank's going to be driving this damn thing the whole postseason. And he's got to be better. Saul, you nailed it. Espo, you nailed it. He has to be better. We get on these, we do these shows, and we praise players, we criticize players, right? There's nights where we have good nights. There's nights where we have bad nights in media. Coaches have good nights as coaches and bad nights as coaches. I think it's important to look at, especially the player and coach element of it, and understand that the coaches are in control of what the players could potentially do. And I don't think that gets talked about enough. Like, I think Frank froze KD out tonight. I think Frank really, really froze. I mean, the guy was rolling. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're going to ride with Frank, man, some of this shit got to get fixed, because you can lose games, man. Coaches will lose you games.
And also, like, okay, like, we're not dealing with in absolutes, right? We're not dealing in absolutes. So when we say this and we're pointing this out, that doesn't mean that's the only reason the Suns lost,
right? That's
right.
That's right.
Like, so like, you got to chill with that. And like, there's a comment, some guy just going crazy in the chat because he thinks that we're just, all we do is talk shit on Vogel and that's it. I'm like, dude, like, stop. That's not what happens every podcast.
Nah.
The other thing is like, you got to understand there's levels to this. And the coaches, in terms of rotation specifically, they're the only ones that have the move.
That's right.
They're the only ones that are in control of that. And then you move over to everything else, and you're talking about the defensive side. And the defensive side, the connectivity is just abhorrent. And I will say this. It's not just on Frank when it comes to the defense.
No.
I mean, guys are getting lost because they're not communicating. When their guy gets beat and then somebody else helps, they're not rotating over to the guy that they just left. They're just leaving him wide open in the corner. Like, that can't happen.
Yeah.
Those are the sloppy things that happen too many times for a professional basketball team at this time of the season. That can't happen.
Well, and again, adjustments were made in the second half by the Celtics. We didn't see it with the Suns, but to me, the other thing, and it's not a Frank thing, but where did the aggressiveness on defense go? The first the first quarter and a half.
Locked in.
Great defense by the Suns. You were seeing steals. They were blocking shots. They were stopping guys as they went in the lane. Grayson going toe-to-toe with Brown a couple times out there. There was like a tenaciousness on that defense, and it seemed to, as the game progressed, kind of dissipate. Now, I don't know if that was Boston starting to pick up on what they were doing, or if it was the Suns' effort waning, but it was a distinct difference from that first quarter and a half to the rest of the game defensively.
Yeah, you know, I do feel like the supplemental players for the Celtics played with a little bit more energy.
Yes.
And you know, this is a night where you do miss a Josh Okogie, for instance. Yep. Mm-hmm. And his energy and his, you know, he's gritty. He gets after it, right? And that can be infectious when you see that. You know, Peyton Pritchard didn't have a phenomenal game tonight. But damn, he was a nuisance out there.
Irritant.
He was just a little irritant, right? He didn't get every steal. He didn't hit every shot. But if you're just a little bit more of an irritant, it's just that little thing that slows you down or causes you to pause. Jrue Holiday gets his damn hands on just about every ball, it feels like, right? It's an irritant, right? He doesn't get every steal, but he damn makes you think about every little move that you make. And if you don't have that on your end and you're not forcing the Celtics to at least take a beat of a thought to move, it makes it too easy for them. And they just had their way tonight. They really did.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, the Celtics are the better team. You can't debate that right now. I'm hoping, and it's always been a hope. It's been a hope. I don't know. And right now, if you had to tell me, you got to make a decision on whether or not you think that this team's going to meet its max potential, I'd tell you no. Like, I don't think that's going to happen because there's just too much to overcome right now. But you can control things a little bit better than you have been. And that starts with just communication and chemistry. And that's been the theme all season long.
Yeah.
That has not changed.
That, and I mean, we talked 3-point shoot. They just don't attempt enough, right? I mean, 31 attempts isn't enough,
that ain't
like we
it,
talked
man.
About. And the number we've talked about all year is 38 to 40, right? Yep. Right in that range. So it's all these things that continue to rear their ugly head. And it does not feel like certain things have changed. We see the potential. Tonight was one of those nights where those habits returned again, and it just was not pretty.
The supporting cast for the Celtics, they're just good, man. They're just good.
They're a good team.
They're heady. It felt like tonight there was a part of that game where, if I'm the Celtics, if I'm Jason Tatum, I'm looking over my shoulder. I got seven dudes with me tonight that I know are gonna rock, and the Suns just didn't have that, you know. I also want to give, you know, there was a lot of people pounding the table for Royce O'Neal to start over Grayson. Now you see why. You kind of see why now.
Huh.
You kind of see why you don't make that decision, because you nailed it. Royce is up and down. Now, Royce is going to be fine. Like, people go through these funks. Royce is going through one right now. But, yeah, I mean, you got 20 points from the four guys. And then, yeah, everything else was like, whoa. And again, the Payne Pritchards of the world, the Tillmans of the world, Al Horfords, like, they don't stop, bro. They just, who's my man? The backup, the center. Why am I having a brain fart for the Celtics?
Cornette.
I mean, they just play hard, man. There's nothing special about these dudes. Like, there's nothing special about these dudes. You don't look at these dudes and you say, they just come out, they play this system, they play hard, man. They just play hard, and that's something we're lacking.
Well, and this team is not going to win when the big three don't outperform, the stars of the other team.
Hey, the big three wasn't good enough.
No, not tonight.
It wasn't good tonight.
It's that simple, right? I mean, this whole team is predicated on those three guys, right? And you can't have Devin Booker have a first half like he did. You can't have Kevin Durant kind of disappear in the second half for whatever reason, Celtics defense, whatever it is, they didn't do enough tonight. And I feel like Bradley Beal had opportunities in that first half around the rim that he didn't capitalize on. All that adds up. And then you have Brown and Tatum playing otherworldly on the other side. This team cannot win unless Booker, Beal, and Durant dominate. Otherwise, they're going to have these nights. And I think we'll see more of these nights in the playoffs as well, because these guys, I don't think can be on 100% every night. I don't think it's going to happen. And when you face teams with the elite talent like Boston has, you're going to be put in these situations that any night that those three don't have the kind of games that that are expected of them, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything more to this equation than that.
Big three plays good, you win. Yeah. Big three don't live up to expectation, you're going to lose. It's pretty simple.
And that's the way this team was built. And they understood that because of the cap ramifications. So, yeah, will there be nights where there'll be some outliers and Grayson will go crazy and have 30? And sure. But all in all, it's that simple. And tonight, they were not good enough to get it done. With that in mind, I want to name our big, bright, shining star of the night. Let's take a look who won it.
I'm a big, bright, shining star.
Man, that guy.
It ain't any of the guys on the team. It's our friend Gerald Bourget. There's a game tomorrow, and there will be people here for your pre and post, but it won't be any of the three of us sitting in this. So we wanted to take a moment to congratulate our man Gerald Bourget, who is getting married tomorrow. He's going to get a ring before the Suns do. Congratulations, Gerald. We didn't know if it would happen, but it did. We're looking forward to tomorrow's ceremony, so we want to take a moment to congratulate
tomorrow him. We do have some special guests for you guys. You have Eric, our producer, will be hosting the show, and then you also have Stephen Pridgen, and he'll be joining us from Chicago, and then Aaron, a longtime guy that's been around the pod several times, he'll be coming in here as well to do the show. So you guys are in good hands. It'll be fun. I'm sure the Suns will bounce back against the Hornets, and hey, you know, listen, I know everybody's upset. I get it. We're all upset about different reasons. Like, everybody's got their perspectives. And listen, I don't think any of us are right or wrong, to be honest with you. But the one thing I think we can all agree on is when you have a moment to celebrate your people, you should celebrate them. Tomorrow we get an opportunity to do that. We love Gerald. He's a fantastic guy. So, and yeah, we're gonna be optimistic about that because that's what we have.
Yeah, you know what's great too is if they do what we don't think they will and lose tomorrow, we don't have to deal with
that. Why the fuck did you even say that, dude?
Because Eric's sitting back there all excited, he's gonna have a win. Eric, I'm sorry, my man.
Nothing's guaranteed in life, Espo.
You're gassing up the chat, man. Jesus.
I want them to experience what we experience.
Everybody chill out. I'm guaranteeing this. We're going to have a great time at Gerald's wedding.
That's man, all you're guaranteed.
My man G-Money's getting a ring before the Suns do. You nailed that. And the Suns going to bounce back tomorrow.
They will.
Just
don't bet on it, Flex. Just don't bet on it.
There you go. Here go this guy, man. No, listen, it'll be eyes. Tomorrow's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Shout out to G-Money, man.
Gerald might score more than the Suns tomorrow as well. I also love that it made Saul have to do all this extra work so Eric looks special on camera tomorrow night. He's done some great work behind the scenes.
Oh, man, we have Picasso in here.
You can't wait to see how great that camera shot's going to look tomorrow.
I'm a little too much.
I painted
a fucking wall, and you're gonna put some. It's not that hard.
You're going to put some soundboard up? It's going to be great.
You guys act like I just painted the Mona Lisa.
You did. It's beautiful.
It's the Mona Lisa of PHNX walls.
You're going to love
it. It's a gray wall, guys. Okay. And that's all it is.
I don't know. I don't know if the chat follows Gerald on Instagram. I know you do. Did you see yesterday when he posted about all the drinks that are going to be at and our friends at Four Peaks are going to be well represented at Gerald's reception tomorrow. And I'm excited because they have the best craft beer in Arizona. I cannot wait to crack open a peach ale or one of the Bad Birdie Juicy Golden Ales, their new collab between Four Peaks and Bad Birdie. It's super drinkable, perfect for a Friday afternoon when you're celebrating a good friend getting married. And it's also the perfect companion at the tea box or in your fridge. What's your favorite Four Peaks beer?
It's usually the peach.
Yeah. Peach is good. Wow is always good. Kilt Lifter, can't go wrong with it. Eric, what's your Four Peaks?
It's the Wowie. I like the Suns Brew too, but the Wowie, if I had to choose, would be that one.
I think that's a good call.
You gonna ask me what mine is?
You don't drink. So why would I put you in that situation?
All right,
I love
the biggest difference between what what's happening on this pod and what happened on that court is we understand our personnel.
Gotcha.
Okay. I could put you in a
We don't set you up for failure like that.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
He loves his Four Peaks water, and their food at the A Street Pub is spectacular. Flex enjoys that as well. See, Four Peaks has something for everybody, whether you partake in the beer or you enjoy the food. Our friends at Four Peaks have you covered. So make sure to follow them on social at Four Peaks Brew or at Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's hometown brewery, and go to fourpeaks.com/locator to find all your favorite beers and events. Remember, must be 21 or older to drink Four Peaks, and please enjoy responsibly. And you didn't come with me the other night because I forgot to invite you. So I apologize on this front. But I went to some burros.
And
I did not call you and go,
appreciate you, dog.
You want to come to some burros? I totally forgot.
I see how you do.
But I had a good dinner. I enjoyed a good meal over there. I got some mini chimis. I got a taco. I enjoyed their chips and salsa. Their salsa is spectacular, Flex. You're going to enjoy it. And you know what I also got?
What?
20% off by simply saying at the register, four letters. P-H-N-X.
Stop lying. Is that real?
That's real.
I just say PHNX. They take in.
Well, you got to order your food first. Otherwise, they're just going to look at you.
Oh, man. I'm gone, bro.
But yeah, so you're going to get 20% off your order the entire month of March when you use the promo code PHNX. Sombrero is family owned and operated and has been voted Arizona's most loved Mexican restaurant. And for good reason. They've got unbelievable food. So try their popular Fiesta platter loaded with mouthwatering red and green chili beef, chimis, homemade taquitos, which are spectacular, chips, fresh guac, and their famous hot sauce. They got everything, and they've been doing it since 1986. They've been doing almost as long as I've been alive, and they've been doing it well. So 20% off your order of up to $100 when you use the promo code PHNX at checkout for the whole month of March. Available in-restaurant, drive-through, and when you order online, not available on third-party delivery, because screw that. Go pick up your own food. Visit sunburrows.com for details. All right. We're going to get to it. Flex lost again. We're just going to bring it up. It's time to look at our bets. It wasn't a good night for any of us, but I'm sitting on top still at 233.50. Saul is at 88.76. Lindsay drops back to the negative at negative 777. And Flex had a really rough 176.01.
Yeah, Flex. I'm struggling, dog.
Sorry, Flex.
Kick me while I'm down.
I know, but you know
it's
what?
You and this guy, man. You who's going to pull this out? I'm interested.
It's going to be Saul. He's going to hit some Hail Mary
35
bet.
Leg parlay.
He had some insane bet last day like he did last
I'm
year.
I'm not feeling it this year.
No?
Just, you know, I have not been able to find my groove. I keep missing these fucking bets by like one or two things. And it's just, I don't think it's in the cards.
Espo, you hear that? That's just a reverse psychology.
Nah, he's playing possum here. Yeah. He's like, you know what, man? I look at that BetMGM sportsbook app, and I don't have the mojo right now. I don't got it going. Well, you know
he's
what? I
hit
think
tomorrow.
It's Espo's year, you know, because Lindsay, she ain't going to have enough to bet. Flex, he's so far down the well, we're never seeing him again. I just don't feel good about this because, you know, but Espo's going to win the BetMGM sportsbook thing. He's got it. And then he's going to freaking hit two bets last
tomorrow.
Week, and I'm going to wind up. Looking up at him just like he did to Lindsay last year. So
it's gonna be interesting.
I don't like
I'm looking
this.
Forward to this.
Like this. Can we get back to the game?
Let's take a look at the super chats.
Let's go.
Maybe we can donate some of these super chats to Flex so he can get back maybe in the
that's
in the
good
positive
idea.
Here. Trevor Begay with the $1.99 super chat says defense equals strategy. Just hope they miss threes. Or defensive strategy equals just hope they miss threes.
I mean, he ain't lying tonight.
This is the team to play that strategy against,
yeah.
For sure. Let's take a look at
Maggle Tiger with the $2 super chat. The Celtics are terrifying. Hey, they're damn good. They're the best team in the league right now.
Yeah.
Point blank.
Yeah.
Gary Wheaton says he bust it wide open, Flex. Okay. sure. Oh, Al Horford. All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
RMB93 with the $1.99 super chat says, our sixth best player is Torrey Craig, a.k.a. Royce O'Neal. All right.
Oh, boy.
The Afro Buzz Show with the $1.99 super chat has nothing to do with players. It's the coach.
I think it's a little from column A, a little from column B. I think we hit on the coaching and though. Libertarian Sasquatch, the best name in the chat, says, I was a Bull Bull hater, but the kid is good. I'm in that club with you. I think he is impressed and, like we talked about, definitely deserves some praise. D-Ni Sandoval, $4.99 Super Chat, says the Suns' defensive system is the worst. Lousy perimeter defense is a constant with this team. This is poor coaching.
I agree to a certain extent, but I also think this is just a combination of everybody. It's not just one thing, guys. No,
never one thing.
Regardless of what you want to say or what you want to think, first of all, I've never said Vogel should be fired. I don't think any of us have said that.
No, not since Christmas.
No.
Christmas, I certainly said that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've never said that. You know, it's just everybody's got to perform better. It's just this team can show you their potential from time to time. But, you know, on a game like tonight, you have to play clean basketball. And they did not play clean basketball. Nope. And the better team won. It's okay that they lost. But again, for me, it's always been about the process. You talked about that in the pregame. Like, how did they go about losing? Did they play as clean as they possibly could? Did they take care of everything that they could have taken care of? And I would say no. Yeah. Like, there's things that you certainly can improve on, which is both encouraging and deflating at the same time, because you don't know what's going to happen as they move forward. Are they going to fix the problems? Or are they not? And so, nobody knows at this time. That's why we're all kind of like, I want to believe.
Yeah.
I'm still here. Yeah. But my eyes are telling me that it isn't going to happen. But they might put it together. Yeah. But they might not. Like, we're all conflicted every single night. So there's no point in just attacking people, whether it be in the chat or us or whatever. Like, it's useless. It's a useless endeavor because nobody has the answers to any of this.
Well, I mean, okay. I think you put, like we talked about, rotations, some of defensive strategy on Frank. But then you also got to look at the roster and go, okay, but they didn't really give him defensive-minded players. This is an offensive-minded team. So how much does that come into it? It's 100%. You can't put your finger on one thing. If you could, they probably would have fixed it by this point this season. But there is not one thing that has been that. It is an amalgamation of things that continue to rear their ugly head on multiple things in the same night.
Yeah, it's a potpourri of things, man. It's just so many things. And then combine that with the fact that you are playing the best team in the world. Best team in the NBA. That you have to play for 48 minutes. Like, this ain't Charlotte tomorrow. And so, there's no one person to point at tonight. It's across the board. And then you tip your hat to the best team in basketball who came out here and exposed your mistakes. You make a mistake, we're going to make you pay. That is those are different cats over there. Boston is a different group of dudes. Whoa. And the one positive I will say of this whole thing that I can take from this is they got two games against the best team in basketball, and there were spurts where you sat in the middle of the ring, toe-to-toe, and looked like you can compete with them. And then the silver lining is you don't have to worry about them dudes in the Western Conference, man. If you do run into these dudes and we're sitting here talking about how much of a problem Boston is, that means we made it through the West. We're in the NBA Finals, and we cross that damn bridge when we get there. But this was two good lessons that I'm just going to continue to pounce on. I don't think there's a team in the Western Conference that applies that much pressure for 48 minutes, and that this could be a good thing for the Suns.
No, I agree with you, and I don't think there is a team in the West like that. But you also, these two games were a measuring stick, right? Yeah. And right now, you know, at the current iteration, where you're at, you're not good enough to beat a team like Boston.
Not right now, no.
Face in the East.
No.
So I think that gives you motivation and gives you an opportunity to look at it and go, where do we need to improve? What things can we fix and what things can't? What things are just in the blood with us, that this is who you are in your DNA, and what things are we shot ourselves in the foot and we can fix those and clean it up. Mm-hmm. And in the end, you hope you clean up enough of it that then you can compete at that level. I don't know if they will be able to. I don't know if it'll be good enough, but that's the process you got to go through over the next handful of weeks.
Listen, I don't want to go back to it, but you just playing basketball. If you play somebody enough, There is a chance for you to pick up on subtle little things that can make a world of difference. And I say that if you go back to the 64 and 18 Suns, they were dominating Luka and the Mavericks in the regular season. At one point, I think Luka was 1-11 at one point before the playoffs, right? And then you play in the second round. And the first two games, you absolutely annihilate these dudes to the point where the national media was making fun of Luka. They were like, man, they just picking on this dude. The Mavericks are done it for. And then, oh, shit, they won game three and played well and fixed some things. And then game four. And then, okay, lost game five. Y'all know what happened. And so what I'm saying is this is something to – you play the Celtics twice. They beat you twice, but I like to believe that every time you play a team that good, you come out a better team. That's just my belief, man. You come out a better team. The Suns are a better team tomorrow against Charlotte because of what just happened to them today in Boston.
And also because it's Charlotte.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
You better be a better team against Charlotte.
Don't bury the lead there.
You're right. You get what I mean, though, right? I mean, I do believe that this is going to be something that you can look back on and say, you know what? The Suns became better by playing Boston and having these things happen. And if you don't, shame on you. Because I know as a ball player, every time I play somebody better than me, I came out as a better player.
Yeah. Well, so we'll find out. I think the next measuring stick is obviously on Sunday early morning game against the Bucks. We'll see how they react then.
Real quick, I think we missed a super chat. Yeah. Did we find
we did miss the super chat. It's not in our streaming software, but I do have it up on YouTube. It's from KillerX for $1.99. Said, y'all got some nerve titillating this playoff preview.
Not in terms of these two teams playing, in terms of the intensity that you're playing with.
He wasn't happy and he thought we skimmed out on it, but that we did not. It just did not come through our software.
Come on, man.
Chill out, homie.
We love you, man. Like, come on now.
We didn't say finals preview either.
We click a button and we can see all the super chats and it just didn't pop up and he went and found it. Like, we got
of all the egregious shit that's been said to us in super chats, that's not the one I'd skip, all right? we've read everything, even when it's pretty tough on us as well. Do we want to bring some positivity?
It's been a little heavy. Man.
I want to do a game that we're going to call. Eric, do you have that ready?
Tell me something good.
All right. It's simple. Tell me one thing good. Just anything. Anything that comes to your mind. Suns related, anything. Flex, tell me something good.
I got
to
go first.
Yeah, you're Mr. Positive. No, you're going to have something go good. First.
Something good.
Mr. Positivity doesn't want to say something good.
No, listen, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow, Gerald's wedding. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be good family atmosphere and a nice way to decompress. Well, something good is my man G-Money is tying a knot tomorrow. So.
Tell me something good.
Are we doing that every single
time?
Yes,
we are.
All right. You know, for me, I Nurk didn't play a clean game, but I am always encouraged that he gives us multiple second chance opportunities, you know, every game. And you know, there's things that he can clean up for sure. But I do like the fact that he keeps going back to the table and he keeps playing hard down low. And I think if he would just focus at, getting the ball up, instead of pulling the ball down every single time he gets a rebound, he'd probably average another 6 to 8 points a game. So I'm encouraged by that.
Tell me something good.
I'll add on that real quick before I say mine. Also doing it while observing Ramadan. So doing it without food and water before the game.
Nurk
and still getting 20 boards. Tonight.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's fasting.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah. He's fasting. So he's fasting. 8 points, six rebounds, six assists, 20 rebounds, while also probably struggling a little bit to feel good. My something good, Royce O'Neal can't shoot worse than these last three games. Statistically, it's almost impossible. So the odds say he'll be able to hit some more shots. Yeah. You got another one, Flex?
People mad at me because I didn't do a Suns one. So
you hit it again.
Tell me something good.
I do like that the big three, their shot distribution lately has been really good. I just feel like that even though the results weren't what we wanted, their shot distribution has been pretty spot on lately. And I feel them. I think these guys are getting it together. I really do. I think there's a stretch where the big three are about to go on a little run. And they're healthy, so I like what the big three is doing as far as shot distribution.
All right, I think Saul and I are tapped out on good things. So that was tell me something good for this. I think if there's any other losses that we are feeling negative about, we'll bring you.
It feels like it's condescending.
Actually, I got one more, Eric. You got the sounder?
Go ahead, dog.
Tell me something good.
You want to win or get $150? I fumbled the bag. You want $150?
Me? Yeah.
Yeah. It'll cost you $5. Is that a pretty good investment? $5 to make $150?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, well, you can do it with our friends over the BetMGM Sportsbook. You're going to get $150 instantly when you bet $5. It's simple, all right? I'm going to run you through the process. You download the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android, or you visit BetMGM.com. You sign up using the promo code PHNX. You deposit $5 into your newly created account. You place a wager in the amount of $5 at standard odd prices. Once you place the bet, you're getting $150 in bonus bets instantly, regardless of the outcome of your wager. It just shows up there. So I ran you through that. Guess what? It probably takes you less time than it took me to read that to get you $150. I've done it. Saul's done it. Flex has done it. Everybody in the building has done it. It is a hell of a deal, and we recommend you do it right now. So sign up for the BetMGM Sportsbook app using promo code PHNX. Place your first BetMGM Sportsbook wager through the BetMGM mobile app for at least $5. You're going to receive $150 instantly in additional winnings, regardless of your wager's outcome. Check out the show notes for full details, and now listen to Damon talk about the disclaimer.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 New York. Call 1-800-327-5050 Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-UP Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF Iowa. 1-800-270-7117. For confidential help, Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 Puerto Rico. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Get stuffed, Ontario, and yes, Puerto Rico. We still apologize for
guys.
Flex's betting until he wins. Flex, you want to get fucked?
That's Priscilla, what I thought you were going to say. That's what I thought you were going to say,
Priscilla
dog.
In the chat thought that's what I was going to say. It was not, but I thought, you know
you
what?
You thought you would just say it anyway?
Why not say it anyway? Give the people what they want. Eric in the chat says, is Esper bringing back the purple pants? You know what? Why don't we do it on Sunday? I'll bring
Sunday?
The purple pants back on Sunday. We need some good mojo.
Yo,
Eli, will Esper make a toast at Gerald's wedding? Hey, Gerald, what are you yeah. After the wedding. All right. No.
Guarantee you that Esper's not getting the mic at Gerald's wedding.
No. Especially that with the OGs we're likely taking prior to said wedding.
Yes.
You know what?
Priscilla, you see what you started?
Yeah, this is Priscilla's fault, all right? Priscilla, you know what, Priscilla? You do you at Gila River Resort and Casinos, all right?
I thought you were going to say something crazy.
I
was going to walk off.
I was like, is that supposed to get canceled right now?
Gila River Resort and Casinos is one of my favorite places to hang out. We do our watch-alongs there. We did some of our Cardinals pre- and post-game shows there. They've got an amazing gaming floor. The food is unbelievable. Whether you're looking for something fast or you want to sit down, they've got restaurants just for you. They've got a great sports book, the BetMGM Sportsbook, mm-hmm. up there. And the swing suite area that we do our stuff in when we go out there is fantastic, yeah. as well. But it does not stop there. They've got a resort with pools, fantastic rooms, everything that you want from a resort. And they also have amazing shows. Who's coming for Final Four weekend?
Ice Cube.
Damn, let's go.
Who else? Let's go. E-40.
Who E-40?
Else? Big Daddy Kane.
Tell my man.
You know what? I'm going to that. That sounds like everything I was bumping in my ride back in high school.
Shut the fuck
me
up.
Me and my
Espo.
Whip. That was exactly
he went to Espo. You was bumping you in the cool.
He was bumping to like Third Eye Blind.
Come
on, man.
Hey, bro, I had to cut some eyebrow, man. Big Daddy Kane, baby. I'm going to see Big Daddy. Are they? Is it one night or three of them?
No, it's two separate nights.
We going?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to be out there Friday night.
Have a show out there.
So,
Friday.
We'll sneak in.
I got to see the fellas.
It's unbelievable. You'll love Gila River Resorts and Casinos because nobody does it better. They offer an authentic and immersive experience. 15 blackjack tables, live games, not to mention Arizona's largest casino sports book and 800 slots. So you do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit playatgila.com for more details.
I want to point out somebody in the chat who is making some phenomenal points. Justin Nicholas is in this chat, and he had a comment earlier. If we can get to it, we're pulling it up. Hold up. It was about the ISO Heavy Stars. Anyway, he says it is very, very hard to win games when you have three ISO Heavy Stars. And he basically looked at, you know, he's pointing it out like, and this is something that I want to get into maybe next week, but I've thought about the different variety of our three, and there's a lot of similarities between the three, which make it a little bit difficult. And his point is like you're basically hoping that they will ISO will you to victory. And he's not wrong. Again, this is something that I want to get into next week. But Justin, all your comments have been fantastic tonight. I really appreciate
you. Yeah, no
doubt. Is that on player? Not to harp on coaching again, but is that player or is that system?
I think it's style. I think style of player.
So
I think
that's not something you're solving anytime soon.
Oh, I mean,
Tigers don't change their stripes, man. I mean, this is what they are.
Yeah, this is what they are.
Tonight, perfect example. I've been reading. He's been making some great points. They were hunting Al Horford today in the ISO game, all three of them, and I think it bogged us down a little bit. And it goes back to Book's J.J. Redick interview yesterday where J.J. was like, hey, man, let's talk about this. Sometimes you get stuck in ISO and you get stuck on looking or hunting a mismatch. And then you look at the clock and you're like, damn, I got 6 seconds to go. Where sometimes, man, if you just get into a pick and roll action and you take what the defense gives you and you if you can get that look with 19 seconds, take it. Like it doesn't have to be the way they're doing it. And so I know they're great and they've been great at doing it, which is why they're all three stars. But today was a little too much. Today was a little too much and you miss a couple shots, you're in trouble.
But does hunting Al Horford that to me doesn't seem like Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant got together and went, you know what, we're gonna trade off hunting.
Is that coaching?
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's a strategy thing.
Yeah.
But I also understand maybe you're trying to play to the strengths of the guys on your roster, and it's also a roster flaw. We'll get into it more next week, though. I think that's a great point, Saul. Let's take a look at our remaining Super Chats. We'll look at that one from Johnny Boy 21, $9.99. The Suns beat this same Celtics team in Boston last year with Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, Grant Williams. This is who was starting for the Suns. Ayton, Saric, Torrey Craig, Mikal Bridges, CP3. Explain how.
I mean, that's just a different year, different team. There's no way to explain how. It just happened. But
I can't recall the game, so.
Well, but they did. Also, the Celtics didn't have Jrue Holiday at the time, which plays a big role and you know, different Booker's, some of Booker's issues today. Yeah, it's tough to try to figure that out. Before we get out of here, we were scoreboard watching earlier today, and I want to give you an update on a couple of those games that we were looking at. We had the Clippers and Bulls on our list. Clippers took care of business in Chicago, 126-111, so they gain a game on the Suns. And right now, the Mavericks and Thunder are taking it to each other in OKC on TNT, 47-45, Dallas leads with 5:14 to go in the second quarter, which means that you would see the Mavericks gain yet another game on the Suns. Right now, Suns are sitting in eighth in the West. Dallas has moved ahead of them based on conference record right now, and will move a half a game ahead of them if they win tonight and in OKC. So Suns are sitting at eighth right now, a game or 2.5 games ahead of the Lakers, a half a game back of Sacramento in the sixth seed, and a game and a half back of New Orleans in the fifth seed.
Before said, 1593 says, change your tune if the Suns make the playoffs. The play-ins are not the playoffs. Whatever. If you don't feel like it's not the playoffs, then it's not the playoffs.
I mean, the NBA team in the NBA Finals last year was in the play-in, so it is the playoffs.
But also, they're a game and a half from fifth.
I mean, he were a playing team. He made it to the finals last year.
I mean, hey, listen, I don't know if it really matters where the Suns are at this point. They just got to play clean basketball, no matter who they're playing. The West is going to be tough no matter who they play. You know, if the Dallas Mavericks are in the seventh spot, we're in the eight, you think, well, one or two want to play either one of those two teams? No.
Exactly.
But you can say the same about every single team.
Yeah.
I don't want to play OKC. I don't want to play Minnesota. I don't want to play any of the teams in the West, but we're going to have to. So it is what it is.
No one in the West wants to play anybody in the West in the playoffs.
I mean, the Suns are eighth in the West right now at 7:56 p.m. Arizona time.
Yeah, and they could be seventh.
they could be seventh
in an hour.
In an hour and a half, they'll be seventh. And then when they beat Charlotte tomorrow, they can be. Yeah, come on, guys. Okay. This is what I'm saying. It's too close. I mean, this is going to change like by the hour.
I mean, this is going to change multiple times between now and the end of the season. We're going to have a clearer picture over the next handful of weeks, and we can debate it then. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, gentlemen?
No, just, you know, hey, listen, guys, we see you. I know you guys feel scorned or hurt, and some of you guys got some really good takes. Some of you just want to kind of go off the wall. Regardless, we embrace everybody. We appreciate you all chiming in and throwing in your thoughts, and we see them and we appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you want to come hang out with us and tell them to our face, you can join us at our tea party coming up on March 23rd out at Dobson Ranch Golf Course next at Saturday. 4 p.m. It's a week from Saturday, isn't it? It's going to be a great time, brought to you by our friends over at Four Peaks. Dobson Ranch has the coolest driving range I think I've ever seen. We're going to be playing some games there. We're going to be watching the game. We're going to have contests, prizes. We're going to have some of our great sponsors out there. You'll have a good time. So go to gophnx.com and get your tickets today.
Girth Jr., that's a lie. Don't be lying in here, okay?
What's Girth
Jr.? I did not say at the beginning of the season, I want to play OKC in the playoffs. I said OKC was my surprise team of the year. And I said OKC was my, what do you call it, league pass side piece.
This is true.
That is absolutely true.
And those were both great picks.
Go run the tape. Go run the video.
Flex, any final thoughts, my friend?
Nah, I'm chilling, man. This is going to be a bloodbath in the West, man. Everybody just chill out, take it one day at a time. Suns are going to be fine. And NBA, please stop with this Milwaukee East Coast. They did that last year, too.
You're not excited for a 10:30 a.m. game?
How do we do that? Like,
Who's bringing breakfast on Sunday?
You know, let's go back. Just scroll up just a little bit right there. Before said, 1593 said, this podcast is hilarious. All year I've been hearing when the Suns make the playoffs, quote unquote, you must have the biggest confidence that the Suns will easily take care of the Mavs and or Warriors and Lakers. I don't really care. I don't really care right now. Like, I just want them to get to a point where they're going to play some meaningful basketball games with a chance to possibly advance. That's it. That's all I care about. So, like, hey, I get it. Also, there's three dudes out there that owe me $100 a piece. So I remember who you are. And when I find you, you're going to give me that money.
Hey, there's still time for James Harden to wind up here, right?
You still ain't get that bread?
No, man. Black Sunday was out there talking all that shit.
Oh,
two other dudes out there talking all that shit. And when the rubber met the road, they ain't been back since. Ain't been back since, man.
To the auto-generated name that said that about the play-in stuff, I still think the Suns are fifth or sixth. That's how confident I am. They're not going to be in the play-in. So I'm not going to have to worry about the Mavs, the Lakers, the Warriors. They're not going to be in the play-in. That's how confident I am.
I agree. I think the Suns are definitely top six.
So there it is. You can follow him at Flex from Jersey. You can follow Saul at Saul underscore Bookman. You can follow the show at PHNX underscore Suns. And you can follow me at Espo. Flex, fire up the car. You're my DD, and I am ready to go get my drink on at Gerald's birthday.
Hey! Gerald's
birthday, wedding, I don't care. Get the drinks ready. Ahoy, hoy!